Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sangai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. QT and Sangai with you like normal here on a Friday. Real quick, before we jump into things with our guest, some show notes. If you're looking for some pro wrestling in the next couple of days, tonight, WCWO in Indianapolis at the Outlaw Arena, Power Pit Pro Wrestling in Roseburg, Oregon, 3-2-1 Battle in Seattle, Washington, FGW in Hamilton, Ohio, KEW in Frankfort, Kentucky, ACW in Reading, Pennsylvania, FSPW in Greensboro, North Carolina. Tomorrow night, Supreme Wrestling in Madison, Indiana, BCW in Salt Lake City, Utah, AAW in Chicago, Illinois, KLT in Rome, Georgia, SCW in Canuma, Michigan, LPW in Cambridge, Maryland, VIPW in Nanaimo, British Columbia, Thrash Wrestling in Vernon, BC, RICW in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, Matt and Muscle Pro Wrestling in Augusta, Maine, Funkified Wrestling in Warsaw, Indiana, NWP in Terre Haute, Indiana, WFW in Connersville, Indiana, NWF in Cincinnati, Ohio, EWE in Glendale, Arizona, and XWE happening in Salina, Kansas tomorrow. Without further ado, I want to welcome our guest back to the program. It's been a while since he's been on, but J.D. Mason, welcome back. We got J.D. with us.
J.D.? Oh, we may be having technical difficulties.
Maybe, QT.
But at least
can you hear me?
Here. There we go.
Am I on live on the Sign Guy Wrestling Radio Show?
You are, J.D., you are indeed.
Well, hell yeah, brother. How's it going?
Going very well. Thank you for being with us as we continue with Northwest Pro Month here on the show. And like most people are aware, besides a number of other places, Northwest Pro, your home base, your home promotion, and you're going into a huge show next month. You have the verified champion, KISW's own, Steve Miggs next month. You have to be excited about that, are you not?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I've been on many shows with Steve Miggs, and he's a great guy, fantastic talent. And, I look forward to getting in the ring with him and showing him what I bring to the table.
Now, I have to presume that even though it is not a Northwest Pro Championship, Steve Miggs will probably have his verified championship on the line. Have you been following the championship picture with Steve Miggs as he brings that championship to shows wherever he appears?
I mean, yeah. Sign Guy, you know as well as I do, I've held many championships. I mean, many championships over my illustrious time in pro wrestling, and the Verified Championship is just another one that I want to add to the list.
Al, I know what you are relatively new to the Twitter, which is sort of how the Verified Championship will work. Steve Miggs, the local celebrity, getting to that verified status where he has the blue check mark on the Twitters. what do you think of the way Twitter works for professional wrestling here in 2020? Do you think it's a strong proponent in professional wrestling, or do you think that it's maybe overutilized or underutilized?
To be quite honest, I don't have an opinion either way. Yes, I do have a Twitter now, but to be quite honest, I'm not very active on it. I don't quite understand how the Twitter machine works yet. You can find me on the Instagrams and the Facebook still. I believe NWP has a face or an Instagram, but we for sure have a Facebook. You can find that at facebook.com/NWP Wrestling. You can also find us on YouTube and soon to be TikTok. You can find us on TikTok as well.
Very 2020 to be on TikTok.
It is very, you know what, Sun Guy, it is 2020, and we here at Northwest Pro are definitely trying to keep up with the time. We're trying to
absolutely
geek, as the kids would say.
Now, of course, there at Northwest Pro, you've been there from day one, helping that company grow. But some of the people that run the place there, talking about Ken Hamlin and Y period T period Jones, they've got some big things lined up for Northwest Pro in the coming months ahead. They've already let us know on some very big events that are coming up for Northwest Pro. Looks to be a great year. What do you think of the job that Commissioner Hamlin and Y period T period Jones has been doing there for Northwest Pro?
I mean, YT has definitely brought a lot of surprises to the table. As a lot of people know, I started NWP, and through various different business decisions, it was, you know, sold to Y period T period Jones, who is a thousandaire. And, you know, he's definitely making some big decisions. I heard there's going to be a big announcement maybe tonight or tomorrow regarding a future show, as well as some other fantastic stuff that's definitely going to happen. I mean, the year alone is going to be the biggest year for Northwest Pro, I would say.
One of the big things that we recently saw was an all-cage show. Talent from a few different states made their way to Vaughan, Washington for that one, and everyone on the show competed within the confines of the steel cage, including a very, very reluctant Christopher Ryzik. What do you think of the all-steel cage show concept?
Personally, I think it's fantastic. It gives everybody a chance to kind of settle some differences and maybe solve some new issues between people who have never stepped into the ring before. For instance, me and Uncle Muscle stepped into the ring for the first time ever inside that steel cage.
Now, you've been wrestling a lot of people in first-time matches over the last year. You've gone in there against Uncle Muscles. You've gone in there with Marty the Moth. You've gone in there with Jack Windsor. You've gone in there with Jerry Bishop from Kentucky. A lot of guys that you've competed against for the first time, even though you've been active in the business for well over a decade now. What do you think of all these first-time matchups happening for you recently?
I'm always up for a challenge, honestly. I love first-time matchups. Stepping in the ring with Marty was honestly the highlight of my year. It was for sure the best match I had all year because he pushed me to do things and put things together that I've never done before. And it was definitely a great learning experience and a great experience all around, and I can't wait to get back in the ring with him. But as far as stepping in the ring with any, I literally get in the ring with almost anybody, as long as they're, properly educated into the business.
For sure, for sure. Now, one of the goals that a lot of wrestlers set, especially early on in their career, is to work with some of the bigger name talents, guys that have been on national television and have a household name attached to them. I know you've been in there with some guys that have that. Who would you say are some of the biggest names that you've faced so far?
For sure, Marty. Sweet and Sour Larry Sweeney was one of them, RIP. Davey Richards, Tony Kazina. I did a tag team match with Colt Cabana. It's not a big list, but it's definitely a decent list.
It's very, very decent for sure. Not a lot of guys get to wrestle half of this many big names. One of the places that you hit this last year, I'm relatively sure for the first time, was Alaska, and they've been doing some really good things up in Alaska over the last couple of years. They've really stepped up their game. What did you think of the experience wrestling in Alaska?
Alaska was great. Me and Mikey the Mustache went up to Fairbanks for 49 States, which was fantastic. I mean, it was a packed house, and it was just a fun environment, and it was great food, and it was really just super, super fun. And then later in the year, 49 States, as well as NSA Wrestling, brought me, Mikey the Mustache, as well as the Lumberjack up for events. And it was, again, beautiful city. We went to Anchorage this time, and a great city. It wasn't super, super cold, but it was definitely headed that direction. So that was going to be the last time I was up there for the year until it gets a little warmer, you know what I mean?
I can definitely understand that. I went in August when I went up there to work for the now-defunct APW. Now, I don't know how it is currently necessarily with some of the promotions, but the time I went, one of the greatest payoff systems I had ever encountered in my entire life.
I would definitely say that 49th State and NSA definitely have a good thing going.
I agree wholeheartedly there. And, of course, a lot of the Alaska people doing very well, a lot of them come down here to Washington and Oregon. And Freya the Slay,
yeah,
as we learned recently, also did a stint for the NWA when they did the TV taping. So lots of great things happening in Alaska.
Absolutely.
Now, you also wrestled pretty frequently in Eastern Washington for a few companies. What do you think of the differences, if there are any, between the fan base in Eastern Washington versus Western Washington? Do you think they're a similar fan base as far as what they enjoy and what they expect, or do you see differences in the two?
Honestly, it's a hit and miss, in my opinion. Much like Forrest Gump says, it's like a box of chocolates. You really never know what you're going to get.
He definitely did say that.
So,
obviously,
you know, it really honestly just depends.
I can definitely understand that. Everybody that wrestles has one of those matches that goes so long that it tests the boundaries of their conditioning and their resolve. Some of them last for longer periods of time than others, just depending on the individual. But we all have that match that is the longest match of our career. to this point in time, what would you say has been your longest match?
I would have to say it was a tag team match I recently had at a private event. It went almost 40 minutes.
That is not bad. Not a lot of guys in this day and age go 40 minutes.
I really feel like I could do an hour.
I don't
but
doubt
it
myself.
If someone really gave me the opportunity and gave me the right opponent to work with, I could go an hour.
I can definitely see that happening without any question.
But maybe to put a short list of guys in my head together real fast of guys I could do it, me and Rook Kelly I think could go an hour and keep it fairly entertaining. Apparently the peanut gallery behind me disagrees, but maybe me and Rook, me and Ethan HD could probably go an hour together. Maybe me and Mikey, definitely me and Marty could go an hour for sure.
I'm sure there's others that'll eventually pop to mind, but that's a pretty good list right there. Well, we have come to the portion of the show where we have a game we like to play called Word Association. I will throw out the names of some people that you most likely have come across in your career, and the first word or two that pops into your head is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of word association?
I hope so.
Here we go. Tomcat Jones.
Please.
Jerry Bishop from Kentucky.
Amazing.
JB Moonshine.
Drunk.
Brody Adams.
Tall.
Randy Taylor.
Pimp.
Freya the Slayer.
Queen?
Jared Savage.
Savage.
Aubrey Edwards.
Bubbly.
Randy Zellers.
Hyped.
Feel good.
Pretty decent.
Wild Lyle.
Wild.
Guerrero Azteca.
Champion.
And the last one, Rook Kelly.
Ponytail.
All right. Now, speaking of Rook Kelly, you and he wrestled a few times for Reactivate Pro Wrestling in Richland, Washington. And the crowd there was of the opinion that what Rook Kelly was doing was adequate. It was the first time I had ever encountered a crowd chanting that was adequate at a wrestler. What did you think when you first heard that being chanted at Rook?
I mean, obviously I thought they were correct because it was adequate. But I just took it upon myself to try to take advantage of him focusing on the crowd instead of me.
Now, that series of matches, of course, with Rook took place there in Richland. And they're about to come back in the next few weeks. They had a little bit of a hiatus. Returning now, you will be there for Reactivate Pro, which is still a relatively new company, still growing. What do you think the job of the promoters there in Richland has been like so far?
Well, I got to correct you a little bit. I wasn't going to, but I got to. I've only wrestled Rook in Richland one time. Me and Rook have wrestled probably 20 or 30 times over the course of the past couple of years.
Okay, just once in Richland, though.
Just once in Richland. We are wrestling again in Richland, and I'm definitely hoping for the same outcome.
Now, one of the things that you are known for is your very unique wrestling gear. You have a lot of gear that is different from what most people wear to the ring, and you always try to have a variety out there to keep things different. Who is your go-to gear maker, the person that you most trust to make your wrestling gear?
So, it's pretty terrible of me, but I've never, well, I shouldn't say I've never had custom gear, because I have. I used to wear baggy shorts that were custom that had my name down the side. I've had a few custom shorts, but I've gone through a whole group of different people, honestly. Now I just buy generic singlets, but I will be getting custom gear very, very soon. And with that being said, there's a few people you can go through. I don't know if you can swear on this program or not. But you can go through Classy as...
I'm familiar, yes.
Yeah, because they're pretty classy. I've heard great things about them. I've heard really good things about a couple different people as well. There's a couple different lucha guys that do pretty good work as well in the area. I mean, there's lots of different options. And to go back to your question that we kind of skipped over about the promoter of Reactivate, I think Aaron's doing a very decent job. I would say maybe focus a little more on advertising in the sense of maybe like a radio ad or something. Or going out and actually standing out, like having some young boys, quote unquote, or people breaking in, or even some of the young wrestlers who are on his card, you know, definitely go into town early if you can, and help out. There's nothing wrong with helping out a promotion that you're working for. There really isn't. There's been many times that me, Zach, and Mikey have shown up early to help load the truck and set up the ring, and we stayed to tear down. And you know, everyone should be doing that. It's not everybody can afford a ring crew, so everybody should be doing their part to make sure the show goes round, in my opinion.
But I agree with that.
To round out the rant, I think Aaron is doing a good job.
Agreed. And also, I'd like to throw in, if you're unfamiliar with his work, Congo Khan, one of the best gear makers in the world today.
Oh, really?
Indeed, one of the very best.
Well, so I was going to wait, and I hope YT doesn't get very upset with me for announcing this, but our August event, if you go to our Facebook page, again, that Facebook link is facebook.com/NWP Wrestling. If you go to there, you can see our post for our yearly schedule for the events at the Civic Center. Sign Guy, I'm sure you've seen this.
Yes.
Okay. So, the August date. Do you remember the name of that show?
It is Northwest Pro versus Impact, I believe.
Well, now it's not versus Impact. It says Northwest Pro presents Brace for Impact. And the reason the show is called Brace for Impact is because Congo Khan is going to be on the show, and he wrestles for Impact. And We are also working on acquiring a few more Impact guys as well, to be determined. And that's why the name of the show is called Brace for Impact.
That makes perfect sense, and it'll be good to see Kongo Kong once again, one of my very favorite people.
Well, it's good to know that he makes gear now. Because
absolutely
he
does. He's fantastic, does TV quality work, and in fact, a lot of people on your television set that are wrestling has gear made by the loving hands of Kongo Kong.
Well, I guarantee you Kongo Kong will definitely get a few more customers through the Northwest Pro Locker Room. And honestly, I'm hoping that the year picks up so good that we can make some of these guys regulars.
That would be fantastic. Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I'm sure QT has some questions for you, so I'm going to pass things over to him for a bit.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, JD.
How's it going, QT?
Oh, it's going very well in my travels in the Northwest to see wrestling. Yes, very well. Although it's slightly rainy outside.
Yes, it is. I'm sitting here at the lovely Northwest Pro Training Center here at the Maxi Space in Tacoma, Washington, and I'm just listening to the rain beat down on the door.
Wow. All right. Who is there in attendance with you?
Sitting around me right now, we have SP8. We have the Lumberzack, as well as the young sign guy. You met him at the last show. You saw him get demasked. The young, the hip, the laid back, cool dude, Roger Hawkins.
Wow. Now I hear that Lumberzack is familiar with a product named Steel Panther. Is Steel Panther a band or an alcoholic drink?
So Steel Panther could be an alcoholic drink, but it's definitely a band, and J.D. Mason approved if you're 18 and over. It is one of the best bands of all time.
Wow, one of the best. Okay, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners how many members are in this band?
There
are
members? A total of four.
Four, okay. That's usually a standard number for a band. Although Rush consisted of only three members. Yes.
Well, plus, I believe Lynyrd Skynyrd had like 10 at one point.
Oh, yeah, they were huge.
And Slipknot has a ton of members, so.
Slipknot and Gwar has a whole bunch of people in the band. Gwar.
Well, then there was the Jackson 5. There was five of them.
Yeah, that's true. And then Frank Zappa and the Mothers, I think they had six or seven.
Yep.
When they were not working with an orchestra, Frank Zappa was a good band leader. Yeah. JD, have you ever met Trevor Murdoch at a seminar?
I have not met Trevor Murdoch, but I'm sure our paths are going to cross very, very soon.
I see. Isn't he living currently in Atlanta, Trevor Murdoch?
I believe he lives in Kentucky.
Oh, okay, Kentucky. Okay. All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was corrected. He lives in St. Louis.
St. Louis, ooh. Yeah, now that can be a pretty rough town. It's getting like Seattle. Yes. Okay. Well, JD, as has been confirmed many times before on the Turnbuckle Turmoil show, entrance music for a wrestler can set the tone for your performance that day or night and can really get the attention of the crowd, especially if you're new to the venue, like the Spud Brothers in Idaho.
Now, JD, I'm sure you remember the bagpipe music that hit right before Roddy Piper made his entrance. Well, theoretically, say you were a millionaire and could travel back in time to the 60s when you were a wrestler. What three 60s bands would you hire for your entrance music, and what songs would they play?
Sixties?
Yes.
Was Elvis around in the '60s?
He was in the '60s, yes.
Okay, so we'll go with Elvis. Conway Twitty, maybe?
Okay.
Conway Twitty was around in the '60s, right?
Oh, I'm sure he was. Late '60s.
And then, man, that's maybe Johnny Cash. Is Johnny Cash in the '60s?
Yes, he had that song.
Oh, I guess I could have said Hank Williams, couldn't I? Hank Williams, he was around in the '60s.
Okay, Johnny Cash had that song called A Boy Named Sue. I know you're familiar with that song.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, who isn't?
Oh, okay. So I'm going to put you down. If you could time travel, Johnny Cash, A Boy Named Sue. I'm also going to put down Cream, The Power Trio, Sunshine of Your Love. I'm sure you would pick that as entrance music. And I'm going to say the Yardbirds and their song For Your Love. Yes.
Well, I mean, I guess I could have went with the Beatles.
What song? Helter Skelter?
Oh, definitely Yellow Submarine.
Yellow Submarine. Now, is that because you are known for shooting takedowns and submarining your opponent?
I mean, I like sub sandwiches, so.
Oh, sub sandwiches. Okay. Have you yourself ever pulled a sub sandwich out of your trunk and used it as a foreign object?
I might do that now. I might pull a sub sandwich out of my trunk later.
Okay. All right. Just mentioned Stein Guy and myself mentioned this on the show, going over a 60s question, and the subject of sub sandwiches came up. I thought it would have been an offensive move of yours, but I can see clearly now it's a foreign object with you.
It would actually be a foreign object.
Okay, foreign object. Okay. All right. So, JD, you did very well on the 60s bands that you would hire for entrance music. Let's go to the 70s. What 70s bands would you hire for entrance music if you could do a little bit of time traveling? And would the Northwest's Own Heart be hired by you?
Was 70s the disco era?
Yes, it was the disco era, yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. So definitely, definitely Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
Because I'm not a huge fan of disco, so I would lean more towards the rock genre. So definitely Led Zeppelin. Definitely Rush. You brought them up earlier. And and the Steve Miller Band.
Oh, Steve Miller. Very good. Very good. Good choice. What song by Steve Miller would you choose?
Well, you're going to have to give me a second. There's just so many good ones. I'm trying to scroll through my brain and decide which one's my favorite.
Oh, all right.
I got a lot of, I listen to a lot of music, so I got a lot of songs in my brain. It's like a MP3. I would definitely have to say Abracadabra or the Joker.
Oh,
Wow, very nice.
Okay.
If you were to choose the group Rush, what song would you have them play for your entrance music? I see you picking Fly By Night by Rush.
Fly By Night would be good, but I'm a huge Tom Sawyer fan.
Oh, Tom Sawyer, yeah.
I like opening riff. Da-da-da-da.
Tom Sawyer, wow. All right, I could see that. I was thinking you would go more for the cerebral, the Trees. The Trees.
Yeah, no, Tom Sawyer was actually the first Rush song I heard. It was definitely like one of those, like, just sticks with me.
Okay. And to be fair, I think the Trees was produced in the 80s by Rush. How about Working Man?
I don't think I've ever heard that one.
Oh, Working Man by Rush? Okay, that's that is your homework assignment, to listen to Working Man.
Yeah, I'll get to that as soon as I get the time.
Okay, and JD, I was going to say that you were going to pick Heart's song called Crazy on You for your entrance music.
That's a good song, yeah. And you know what? I probably would use that if I was like a heel, like chauvinistic, like a Christopher Rizik with a terrible body, like Adrian Adonis.
Oh, are you saying that Christopher Rizik is the antithesis of Crazy on You? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's come out to a few songs, the Heaven on Earth and a few songs. I would have to say Mikey the Mustache has had quite the year with songs. It switches up between Bad Guy by Billie Eilish and Blue Monday by Ozzy.
I see. Well, when I see Mikey Mustache in action, and may I say that I am glad that he is now dressless, somehow the song Karma Chameleon by the Culture Club comes up when I see Mikey Mustache.
I mean, you never know. It could. There's a lot of people that do the NWP soundboard, so you never know what could happen with Mikey's music.
Okay. All right, so now we are at the last of the decades that I'm going to ask you about. What about the 90s? What three rock groups would you incorporate that in the 90s, your entrance music? And would
Pearl
one
Jam?
Of them be... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Pearl Jam. E6.
Okay.
And Sugar Ray.
Oh, very interesting choices. Very interesting. Okay. Well, JD, when you first saw Sign Guy in action in the Zebra Stripes, what a 90s band or 80s band came to mind when you first saw Sign Guy?
ZZ Top.
ZZ Top. Okay, all right. Billy Gibbons and Dusty Bottoms. I think it's Dusty Bottoms. Okay. ZZ Top. Okay, very good. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, first song. Okay. All right. Well, JD, during World War II, the Japanese Army captured a Ramri Island in 1942. That's Ramri. The island, Ramri, lies off the Burma coast, 70 miles south of a city called Akab. Akab. In 1945, the Allies launched an attack to retake the island and establish air bases to support the mainland campaign. After a fierce battle, British troops managed to drive nearly 1,000 enemy combatants off the island into the dense mangrove swamps that covered some 10 miles off Ramri. The defeated Japanese entered the swamps after ignoring all appeals by the British for their surrender. In addition to poisonous spiders and swarms of mosquitoes that carried malaria and lack of drinking water, many of these soldiers, many of whom were wounded, fell prey to the saltwater crocodile. Only 520 out of the 1,000 Japanese soldiers managed to survive the Ramri swamps. My question is, why don't any wrestlers use a variation of the gator roll, which is when an alligator or crocodile latches onto its prey and does roll to tear its prey to pieces?
I'm not too sure. I know all about the gator roll. I was a freestyle and amateur wrestler for 7 years. Let me ask you a question. You ever seen Flight of the Navigator?
Flight of the Navigator? No, I did. I have not.
There's your homework assignment.
You have to go watch
Flight of the Navigator.
Wow. This is the first time I believe that any wrestlers has assigned me a homework assignment. I'm very honored.
It's a good movie. Here's a free plug for Disney Plus. It's on Disney Plus. I said Disney Plus 3 times now.
There's
a free plug for Disney Plus.
Wow. I am very excited to have this homework assignment, Flight of the Navigator.
Yep.
Okay. Now, most navigators in World War II bombers were lieutenants in rank. Lieutenants. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Lieutenant.
Oh, I didn't know that. You ever seen that movie with Jack Nicholson and I think it's Tom Cruise and the main line is, "You can't handle the truth."
Oh, that's a few good men.
Few good men. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yes. JD, in your opinion, can many Northwest wrestlers handle the truth?
No.
Oh, okay. They can't.
It's kind of hard not to laugh because you asked me that question. But yeah, the answer is no. The most of the Northwest wrestlers cannot handle the truth.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, JD, you mentioned that you were a high school wrestler that may have done many gator rolls on your opponents. Can you tell us if you wrestled as a freshman in high school?
I did. I wrestled all the way into my sophomore year, and then I had to have reconstructive surgery on my face.
Oh, what happened? Did you fracture an eye socket like The Undertaker?
I wish. I had to have reconstructive surgery on my nose. I had a deviated septum from taking too many cross faces.
Okay, deviated septum. Yes. Wow, okay. All right. How about as a sophomore? Did you weigh 160 pounds as a sophomore?
I weighed 190 pounds as a sophomore.
Light heavyweight, I think. Okay. Boy, that's good. All right, what was your record as a sophomore?
Awful.
Oh. Oh, okay. Well, how about as a junior?
I didn't wrestle my junior and senior year. I did everything I could to graduate early so I could go to wrestling school at Pinnacle.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, JD, I saw your YouTube video entitled Jack Windsor versus JD Mason, 49th State Wrestling, October 25th. And in the opening minutes of the video, Jack shows off his winged costume and combo cape that I'm sure reminds many of its viewers of a highly lit umbrella. Some might even say that the cape that Gentleman Jack wore bore a striking resemblance to the one wore by Wildcard of TCW's Rolling Too Deep. Now, JD, Jack appeared to be about an inch and a half taller than you and about 25 pounds heavier. How did you plan to counteract this size advantage?
I definitely just tried to be faster than he could be, kind of a hit and move situation. But everything he hit me with was just so powerful. It was like getting hit with a brick.
Okay. Do you agree that his cape and wrestling costume kind of reminded you of Wild Card rolling too deep?
Yeah, the first time I met him, I said something to him about Wild Card's jacket.
Okay. All right. Well, JD, as a fan who gets to the events early, and with my personality, I am able to talk with the fans, and I ask them what wrestlers in the WWE they remind them of, especially when I mention Northwest Pro wrestlers. When I mention your name, the WWE wrestler you are most compared to is Val Venus. Were you a big fan of Val Venus?
Yeah, I like Val Venus.
Okay. Well, JD, have you seen the now legendary WWE video where Val Venus met Shelton Benjamin and his protective mom backstage? And, well, he just met them backstage. Have you seen that video?
I don't recall that video. The one that sticks out in my mind the most, where it involves some sort of something porn-like, is the Rob Van Dam Impact promo, where his girlfriend has a girlfriend, and they are all in the bed sharing a whipped cream pie.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, if you want, like, a homework assignment, look up Val Venus meets Shelton Benjamin's mom backstage. It'll be a very enlightening video for you.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Another homework assignment for you is to look up Val Venus meets Shelton Benjamin's mom.
Yeah, I'll have somebody do that right now.
Okay, all right. Well, JD, my last question, you were recently awarded 2 fruit pies for being ranked number 1 in the Turnbuckle Turmoil weekly rankings. How much did this mean to you, and how long did those fruit pies last in their boxes?
Well, you got me cherry pie, so if I win again, I got to let you know apple pie is the best pie.
Oh, boy, let me write that down, apple pie. Okay.
I'm always number 1 in everybody's heart, so.
Okay.
It was a good honor.
Oh, well, yes, Northwest Roofers.
You should get a fruit pie championship belt.
Well, I will try to work with some guy on this and produce a fruit pie belt. Maybe award it to Christopher Rising. Yes.
I mean, there's definitely a bunch of belt makers that could hook you up with a fruit pie belt.
Okay, I will try to do some research into the construction of this said belt. Okay, all right. And, yes, the JD Mason fruit pie belt. Yes.
Well, no, now wait a minute. Now it's going to be the Turnbuckle Turmoil fruit pie belt.
Oh, okay. Okay. Just trying to slog off a little bit of the responsibility onto you. You caught that, though. Very good.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't born yesterday. Maybe 2 weeks ago, but definitely not yesterday.
Oh, all right. Okay. And my last question is, did you ever get a chance to wrestle Dale Heath?
No, hold on. Hold on a minute. I got to call you out a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Now, just like Terry Funk has retired a whole bunch, this is your second last question.
Oh, all right. Damn, you caught me.
Oh, okay.
You have as many last questions as people have retirement.
Yes, I've been known to come back quite a few myself, retirements. Okay. Yeah. Were you ever in the ring with Dale Houston, and did he ever take out his dentures and bite you with him?
I've never wrestled Dale to my knowledge, but I have seen him do the denture gimmick.
I see. Okay. Do you know if Northwest wrestler Polly Chromatic has dentures? And has she ever bitten anyone with her dentures, if she has them?
She does not have dentures, and you would have to ask the House of Pain members if she bites.
Okay. All right. Well, JD, thank you for the homework assignment, Flight of the Navigator. Yes, thank you.
Also, since you gave me two homeworks, I got to do the same thing. Since you're going to be on the Disney Plus app, again, please plug the Disney Plus, watch Brink. B-R-I-N-K. It's about inline skaters.
Oh, okay. Inline skaters. Okay. Brink. Okay.
Brink.
I will not brink during this homework assignment either. All right. Back to you, Sun Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, JD, one of the things that you are known for is for traveling. You've wrestled in many, many different states in your career. What would you say has been the longest trip mile-wise that you've taken to wrestle?
In terms of flight or in terms of driving?
Either way.
I would say in terms of driving was Reno, Nevada, 12 and a half or 13 hours. I wrestled 7 times in 2 days and turned around and drove home. But if you want to talk about just distance, I would have to say Alaska, Fairbanks.
Fair enough. Anyone that has seen you wrestle knows that you're announced as being from Ottawa, Illinois. Have you ever had the opportunity to wrestle in or around Ottawa, Illinois?
I have not. And the reason I use Ottawa as my announced from is because everybody uses Washington this, or, you know, for instance, let's say ST8 was from Tacoma, and Tomcat Jones was from Lacey, and Jared Savage was from Bremerton, and so on and so forth. If everyone's from Washington, nothing really sets you apart, so I was born in Ottawa, and so that's why I use it.
True story. I was on a show once, and when I was introduced from Canada, the other guy that used the country of Canada for his entrance was extremely upset because he thought there could only be one person on the show from the entire country of Canada, while I listened to roughly 10 other people on that exact show be announced from the town where the show took place, which was population 15,000.
Right.
Now, of course, Ottawa, Illinois, being in the state of Illinois, is sort of a hotbed of wrestling. There are dozens of promotions in Illinois, including some very, very good ones in around Chicago. And, of course, there's SICW in Southern Illinois. I don't know if
Black
you follow much.
I can't talk. Black Label Pro in Chicago.
Yes, they're right out of Chicago, based on the Indiana side of the border. Now, it's a hotbed, and I don't know how much you follow the independent scene in that area, but are there any wrestlers from that general vicinity that you've not wrestled that would be on a wish list?
I haven't been keeping up too much with people who are like working in Chicago to make a wish list. But there are people that I would love to work. Ricky Shane Page is on that list. Sammy Callahan. I would love to wrestle Marty again. Zicky Dice would be fun to wrestle, I feel like. I mean, honestly, I would love to wrestle the NWA World Champion, but who wouldn't, right?
Absolutely. We have a few minutes left here in the show, and I want to give you ample time. So if there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything, social medias, upcoming shows, merchandise, your favorite longer mat, anything in the world you want, floor is all yours.
We have a ton of shows coming up for the year at the Civic Center. You can find all that, again, on facebook.com/NWP Wrestling. You can find us on TikTok now. There's nothing on there yet. We're definitely working to get that going. You can find us on YouTube, official, official NWP Wrestling is the YouTube. You can get a hold of us on Gmail. I believe it's also official nwpwrestling@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is crazy long, so I'm probably going to delete it and make a new one because I can't figure out how to change it because technology is beyond me nowadays. You can find me on Instagram. I believe at jdmason.nwp. I believe is what it is. I can't really get my Instagram to load to find out at this current moment. Of course, follow all the NWP wrestlers. You can find Lumberzack, I believe, on Instagram. You can find him also on Twitter and Facebook. You can find SP8 on Facebook. Soon you can find Roger Hawkins on his Facebook page as well as Twitter and Instagram. You can hit us up for training if you want to learn the basics of pro wrestling. I don't promise anybody a career in pro wrestling. I just promise you the knowledge to be safe and work a decent match. I'm not even going to say great match. I'll just say decent match. And I will teach you how to be safe. We definitely work real hard down here. You can find us at the Maxi Space in University Place, to be specific. The current address is beyond me, but you can get it from me or one of the NWP staff members who run the Facebook page. So go ahead and just find me on Facebook, send me a message for training times. It's pretty much open 24/7 to anybody that wants to come. And that's pretty much it, honestly.
All right. Well, JD, thank you very, very much for taking the time out of your day to be with us. We appreciate it greatly. And I will
see you. Actually, I lied. There's one more thing. I got to give you the cutoff. There's one more thing. February 29th at the Key Peninsula Civic Center, Level Ground, main event, not signed, but booked. Papers are not, the championship contract has not been signed, but the match is a return match from the Cage Show. You were there, sign guy. You saw the title change hands from Johnny Proof to Guerrero Azteca. So we're going to see if Johnny Proof signs that championship contract and wants his rematch for the belt as well as a triple threat match for the Washington State Championship. Lumberzack versus current champion Chuck Payne, as well as they're going to be in the ring with JB Moonshine. And then you'll see me taking on Steve Miggs.
and then tons of other matches that are on the card that are going to be fantastic. And just if you haven't been to one of our shows, come check it out.
Absolutely. I will see you next month a few different times. And fans, definitely, if you get a chance to see JD, buy yourself a ticket. Go watch him. He's been great what he does for several years. So I think you'll definitely enjoy him. Look him up on the YouTubes. You can find him there for sure. We will be back with you Sunday afternoon. We will have out of Wrestle Club, Cali's Best, Jay Cruz. And then 1 week from today, we'll be coming up Northwest Pro Month with Tomcat Jones. So definitely have plans to be with us. Get out there, support your local independent wrestling, wherever it may be. And we'll talk to you soon.